rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. At the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Righteousness, the people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth, over all the earth. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns.
Good morning, everyone, if you're on the West Coast, and good afternoon, everyone, if you're on the East Coast or Central or somewhere in between. Thank you for joining us this morning for the Fisherman Ministries broadcast out of Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. The greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to work. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow to the
precious treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, come. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord, praise all ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The rising of the sun to the going down. Same, my Lord's name is to be praised. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord, praise all ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, joy of the whole earth. He is Mount Zion on the side of the north, city of the great King. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the side of the north, city of the great King. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. Rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
Good morning, everybody. There was a song playing right before service that I thought was kind of a cool. The words are kind of cool. It was The Voice of Truth. It says, the waves keep telling on me, telling me, time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. The reason that stood out to me was because of, it's for his glory. The voice of truth is Jesus. And when someone comes to you in love and shares something with you about yourself that needs correcting, that is the voice of truth coming to you. You can choose to believe, to listen and to believe that voice of truth, or you can turn from it and walk in unbelief and in blindness. I want to choose to walk in belief and to hear those words of correction. Sister Melanie was talking this morning about rebellion in her children, specifically in one of them. And like Melanie, I deal with that myself as a mother. The rebellion of my child. The scripture that she quoted this morning is one that I hold dear to my heart. It's Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The thing about that scripture to me is that it requires something of us as the parents. It says we have to train her up. She doesn't just automatically, when she's older, hold on to things that she was never taught in the first place. It requires us to train her up in the way she should go. If we do that, then when she is old, she will not depart from it. Brother Paul was talking this morning about happiness, joy, gladness, excuse me, that was the word he used. He said, if you choose to serve him with gladness, then you will have it. But the choice to serve comes first and the gladness follows. I think a lot of us tend to go into our days waiting to feel better, feel good, feel happy about a certain thing. But the truth is, when you're serving the Lord, you have to go forth in faith in him, move forward in spite of what you feel. Because if you are looking to your feelings, they lie. They tell you something that is not true. They tell you that you need to feel happy in order to move forward. And that's not true. If you're going to wait for the happiness, you're going to wait a long time. Because if your walk with the Lord depends on how you feel, I've just spent the last 5 weeks with backache, back pain. And I can tell you, if I didn't keep my eyes on the Lord throughout those 5 weeks, they and everybody around me would have been miserable. But I praise God that every time I centered myself around him and his word, every time I went to my authorities for correction and received that correction, I had that joy in spite of the constant pain I was in. But you have got to choose first. I don't know if it was last week or the week before that I was struggling with Naomi. She had a bad attitude, as we all go through them, but she had a bad attitude. And I lifted it up to the Lord and asked, you know, what do I do? Because speaking to her about changing your attitude and about how simple it is to just change your attitude, all you have to do, do is get on your knees before the Lord, repent, and then change, choose to be different. That is a simple thing. But when you're in the midst of being bitter or resentful or judgmental or angry or whatever the case may be, you just seem to not see a way out. So she was in my bedroom and I said to her, you know, Naomi, go into my closet, find a different attitude and put it on and come out with a different attitude. Well, she came out, but she wasn't different. So the Lord showed me a bright orange shirt that was hanging in my closet. And when I say he showed me, it was like he leaned me out of my bed and showed me. And I said to her, you know what? Go back in my closet, find the brightest attitude you can find and put it on. And she came out with a grin on her face. And then a smile on her face. And throughout the day, she reminded herself of that attitude that she had put on. And at dinner time, she said, you know what, Mom? There were times in the day that I started to get grumpy or angry, and I remembered the shirt that I put on, the bright attitude I put on. That was a lesson not just for her, but for me and for you. It is a simple choice. It is something we choose to take on, whether it be in the negative sense or in the positive. It is our choice to take that attitude on. Something Rick and I were talking about this week was submission versus obedience. And I know that we are given people in authority over us who are able to show us things that the Lord has for us and areas that we haven't yet seen or been willing to have ears to hear or eyes to see, perhaps even a heart to receive. Brother Steve was likening it this morning in a way that I thought was really cool, and I'm pretty sure Rick did too if he heard it. He likened it to shooting. He said, if you want to learn to shoot accurately and hit the bullseye, you need to learn from not the Joe Schmo next to you who can't hit the bullseye, but from someone who can and has a proven track record of hitting the bullseye. That's who you need to be learning from. And the same goes for us in the Lord. We need those in authority over us. We need those who have walked the walk, who have a testimony of getting through the things that we struggle with, so that we can see, firstly, that it is attainable, and secondly, that they can help us. It's not that they don't stand in judgment of us because they've never been there. It's that they have been there. And that's exactly why they can stand before us and counsel us wisely as to how to move forward. Another thing that I got out of the services this morning that I thought was cool was Brother Scott. He talked about an essay he'd read about what makes people successful, which is another thing Rick and I have talked about recently. Scott said that it was an essay he read, so there was a study done on what makes people successful. It's not hard work or good luck or, as he said, astute human relations. The factor that it boiled down to is that successful people have a habit of putting first things first. Successful people do the things that failures don't like to do. And it doesn't mean that successful people liked doing those things. It simply means they recognized the importance of them and did them. We as Christians have to put God and His ways as our priority, as our only priority. And this starts with a simple choice. Submit and obey Jesus Christ and His word and those who have the rule over you. I looked up the word submission and the word obedience, and this is what I found out. Obedience means compliance, and compliance is an act of complying with a wish or command. So compliance does not mean you agree with it just means you do what you're told. So obedience is just simply doing what you're told. Submission, however, means to yield, accept, and consent. To accept is an act or fact of accepting and yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another. So submission means you accept what you were told as correct and you go forward in obedience doing what you were told. Those two things go hand in hand, obedience and submission. You can obey and not submit and it be worthless. Because you're just doing what you were told, but you do not agree with it. You do not stand as one with the person who gave it to you. But when you stand, when you submit, when you accept it as truth, and you go forward in it, you will be blessed time and time and time again. When you do those things your authority has said for you to do, whether you understand it or not, whether you see the right in it or not, you will be blessed. I have experienced that in my own life when I have thought, dude, you are so crazy. There's no way that's going to work. There's no way that's right. And yet the Lord works it out. The simplest example from my life was quilting. I love quilting. But I hate quilting. It's a love-hate relationship. And I had a quilt to do that I really wanted to get right. I didn't want to make a mistake on it. I wanted it to be perfect. A lot of that was out of pride. But that aside, the Lord taught me something in it. Because I was so desperate to do it perfectly that I didn't move at all. I stopped moving. I stopped quilting. I couldn't even get the quilt on the frame. I was so terrified about failure. And Rick said to me, what do you know to do? In the sequence of events with quilting, what do you know is the next step? I said, I've got to put it on the quilting frame. He said, so do it. You know how to do that. You've done it before. Go do it. Okay, what comes next? Well, you've got to thread the needle, thread the bobbin, you know, get all that set up. Okay, so go do it. And step by step, you do that which is put before you. The Lord is a gracious God and He does not give you more than you can handle. He doesn't tell you when you're 8 years old, okay, when you are 50, you're going to be doing this, that, and the other, and you had need to be in this position, in this place, and no. At 8 years old, He tells you, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a great starting point for all of us to be at, but we should all have moved on from that by the time we're 40. But at 8 years old, that is what He requires of you. As you move further in the Lord, He requires more of you. And it's not always happy, happy, joy, joy. And receiving the correction is not always fun. Sometimes it stings. As my husband likes to say, scourging leaves a mark. But it leaves a mark for a purpose. When you see that mark, you can remember and move forward, not doing that again. That is the whole point. That is the point of correction. That is the point of having authorities who can help us so that we can see what we need to work on and work on it and then move forward, no longer doing those things of the past. When you fall, repent before the Lord and move forward, not looking back, but having the hope for what is to come. One of the scriptures that was used today, I think it was Brother Charles, he said it was Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. For the present, yeah. When my daughter gets punished or disciplined or corrected, she does not like it. But when her attitude changes, it is a beautiful thing. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Submit and obey, and receive the chastening of the Lord. When it stings, say ouch, get over it, move on, but receive it. To receive it means you agree with it, you recognize that you fall short in that area, and that you will change it. You choose to change it.
So there were some references to shooting today, and it got me to thinking back when I first started, just in the backyard over at Carrie's place, really. And it got me thinking about my walk of faith. See, when you accept Christ, it's not the end of your journey. It's the beginning of your journey. You start out at that point and you move forward. And when I started shooting, I started out not always hitting the target. But the more you do it, the more you practice, and the more you get out there, and the more time you spend in that discipline, the better you get. And what I noticed was that in the beginning, I had this very broad, what's called a sight picture. And when I say that, you know, the sight picture is everything you're looking at when you're trying to hit your target. And I would, you know, at the beginning, I was just looking at, if I had a pie plate there, or let's just say a pie plate, I would see the pie plate as the target. And sometimes I would hit the pie plate, and sometimes I wouldn't hit the pie plate. It's just as an example. But the more I started to practice, and the more I started to really work at honing that skill, I started seeing maybe the inside edge. You know, you have the outside edge, and then maybe an inch or so in, there's a little smaller circle. And eventually I started looking, and all I would see is the dead center of the pie plate. I was watching a movie recently, and as he was training to be a sniper, they said, aim small, miss small. And it was, you know, if you aim at a button, you might miss by 2 inches. If you aim at a shirt, you might miss by 2 yards. That really translates and resonates to me with the walk of faith. Not that by aiming small, I'm aiming low. Not at all. It's but looking to be as precise as possible. To be as... how can I put it? Brother Steve mentioned today one of the things that people find challenging with his personality, is that a good way to put it? Is that he absolutely will not allow any unbelief whatsoever. I mean, he will not tolerate unbelief at all. And the opposite side of that is that you look to walk in faith in absolutely every single instance of your life. The little things, the big things, it's all by faith. And for me, that aim small, that's what that is to me. If I sort of paint with a broad brush my walk with Christ as sort of the old musician's phrase is close enough for jazz, and that means that you sort of wing it. Hey, man, I meant to hit that wrong note. That is not what God has called us to do. Amen. Recently, as a family, we've been reading through the end of Exodus, and there is a lot of very detailed information about how to build the temple. There is a lot of it, and it's repetitive. And you get through it, and you know, you can almost get lost in that, but there was this one thing that always kept coming out, actually two things that kept coming out over and over and over. One was the absolute clear line of authority. God gave instruction to Moses, who gave instruction to the people. Now, in that delivery of information, Moses had to receive it accurately. He had to give it accurately. The people had to then receive it accurately and then implement it accurately. And it was an amazing thing when you get to the end and you see that they actually did it. as they were good. They had accomplished it as it was given to Moses by the Lord. But that took extreme precision and dedication to doing it exactly as they were given. And that's our job in the Lord. Our job in the Lord is not to receive that which we get and then sort of mull it over in our mind, merge it with our intellect, and come up with our plan based on a suggestion. No, our job, our responsibility, our service is to do it exactly as it was given to our authority that then gave it to us. Now, if we're going to accomplish that, we have to first listen. We have to listen. I was talking to Brother Steve earlier this week, and there's a scripture that says, do all things unto the Lord. How many times do you do things and you're distracted in the midst of doing? You got one thing you're supposed to be doing, but you're sort of doing three or four other things. See, I actually think that society's love of multitasking is counterproductive. Because it means that the one thing that's important to do, it never gets done with the diligence that it was supposed to get done with in the first place. There's so many other things that we think or whatever has to be done at the same time that the one important thing doesn't get done properly. That means nothing gets done properly and everything is done close enough for jazz, which is not at all what God has called us to do. Rather, if we focus and you put that attention completely on the thing which God has for you to do right now and accomplish that thing, then there'll be the next thing, there'll be the next thing. And you don't need to be worried about 15 things ahead of you. Just focus on that one thing, like Sue with her quilt. I remember that incident. And it to me, looking sort of standing back, watching this unfold, it was a lot like just imagine a robot and take a 5-gallon bucket of water and throw it on the robot. And that's about what you were looking at. I mean, there were sparks flying and limbs flailing and all. I mean, it was an absolute mess. And it was all because of the what if, which is unbelief. Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on the one goal and dialing in on that one thing she needed to do, she was focused on this huge gargantuan picture and she didn't know how she was going to accomplish it. But she felt unable. But if she just put her attention on the one thing, then she was able to do it. She did that and then she did the next and then she did the next. And it all came together in the end. And it was a blessing. Even though she started out in pride and she had to repent from that and all the other things, it turned out to be a blessing to her as just the learning experience, but also a blessing to those people that received it. But it would have never happened. Would have never happened if she hadn't just stopped, repented, received the correction, and then operated in obedience with faith that it would work. Now, for her, it was quilting. For me, it's been many things. For you, I bet you have your own examples of those circumstances and situations happening in your life. And if you allow all the things around the important to become a distraction to that which is important, you're never going to hit the mark. Never. You're never going to get there. But if you can learn to focus and dial in on that one thing that God's given you to do, and accomplish that, then that will lead you to the next thing, and that will lead you to the next thing. And then you will begin one foot in front of the other to walk in that place God has called you to walk. For me, and Brother Paul, danger roll. Yeah, it's about looks like that, Paul. Thank you. For me, it works like this. I run into situations in my walk with the Lord where I have a confidence problem. Now, in the beginning, I did not have a confidence problem in myself. I was fully confident in my ability. I was wrong. And the Lord took many, many, many years to teach me that lesson. And I'm, in many areas, I'm still learning that. On the other side of it, you can go too far with that. You can go too far because all of a sudden your inadequacy becomes greater than God. And that is pride on another side of the coin, and that is also wrong. So where is the balance? The balance is don't have confidence in yourself, but do have confidence in Jesus Christ and his ability to accomplish a thing. Amen. And that's what I'm going to end with today, because for me, and maybe you as well, when I get distracted by all the other stuff and I realize that I'm not where I need to be, I have to then bring myself back to focus, and then I struggle with a confidence issue and I have to take a step back and say, wait a minute, I know, yes, I am not able, but that does not matter. Jesus is able. And the thing that really came out to me, and I've had to have it reminded to me time and time again since last year's conference, is God has not brought us here to fail. Mm-hmm. That was brought up as well today in the services. Yeah. Sister Robin was expressing that to her children and those that were helping her with her house and whatnot. God hasn't brought us here to fail. That's not the kind of God we serve. See, we serve a God that wants to see us succeed and be successful in him. Amen. And I put that in him as the biggest thing that's important. Because success in the world, what good is it to be successful in the world that is going to be destroyed by fire? Who cares if you're successful in this world? Rather be successful in him, which then can make you a success in the world to come. Who cares about here? So I struggled in the past and still do on occasion, I'm just being honest with you, with confidence. And if I get fixated on my own ability, I just forget it. I just want to curl up in a ball and go hide. So the devil had me beat when I was overconfident in myself, and now he's got me beat. When I have no confidence. But that's not where God wants me. And I am not going to stay there. And when I've hit those times, you know, I go back to the Word, and what does the Word say? And the Word says in more than one place, he has not brought you here to fail. And we can have confidence in him. We can trust him. We can believe him. Over and over and over, the testimony of the goodness of God is throughout his word. And it's at that time where you get angry. You get mad. You get determined. You get whatever you need to get out of that place and start putting that one foot forward and walking to the mark God has for you. In Philippians, it says this, chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. That's an awesome statement. He is able. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing statement. See, that, for me, trumps the lie of the enemy. See, that word of God supersedes the lie of the devil. And I can trust the Word of God. I can believe the Word of God. I can hold fast to the Word of God. I can rely on the Word of God. And that's what I encourage you to do. If you're in a place, I don't care which side of the coin you're on, if you're on the side where you have so much confidence, you believe you could do everything, but the truth of the matter is when you look around you, you've done nothing, that's a little red flag that should tell you, yeah, you're fooling yourself, man, or at least you're trying to. Maybe you're on the other side of the coin where you think you've screwed up just so much and so bad that there is no possible way to move forward. Well, that's not true either. The path to getting where God wants you starts with getting on your knees, acknowledging your failure, whether which side of the coin you're on, doesn't matter. Acknowledge that pride, repent of the pride, receive the correction of God, and then focus on walking by faith, because it is by faith we are saved. By grace we are saved. And I'll just say one more time, God hasn't brought us here to fail. He hasn't brought us here to be run over and overrun. He's brought us here to be victorious. He brought the children of Israel, both generations really, to the edge of the Jordan to go take the promised land. One generation walked in unbelief and they died in the desert. The next generation walked by faith. They went over the river and they began conquering. The difference, one believed God, one didn't believe God. Today I pray and hope that you choose to believe God.
Soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace. There is love.
three. I'm going to change keys. That's a little too low. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace, there is love, there is joy, there is full freedom, He set us free. It is full freedom, He set us free, I'm free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace, there is love, there is joy. It is for freedom. You set us free. It is for freedom. You set us free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Freedom, walk in your liberty. We will dance in your freedom, dance in your liberty. We will walk in your freedom, walk in your liberty. We will dance in your freedom, dance in your liberty. I'm free, I'm free. I'm free, I'm free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace, there is love, there is joy. It is for freedom, you set us free. It is for freedom, you set us free. I'm free. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, oh I'm free, I'm free, oh I'm free. Everybody, thank you for joining us this afternoon / morning, and hope you have a great week in the Lord, and may the Lord bless you.